Amen. Now that's something we need to hear whenever we start feeling like we just have to hang on a little longer, you know, from time to time when I start to feel that way, you know, you just hang in there, just hang on a little bit more. Sometimes a line from an old rock song I used to listen to comes into my mind. And it goes like this: it may seem a million miles away, but it gets a little closer every day. You know, so when I was younger, I used to listen to this band called The Police. You probably remember The Police, at least some of you. It's an 80s band. And in the 80s was when rock stars and people like that began to be part of this push for philanthropy in the third world. You know, pop stars tend to be young and very rich, and what do the young rich do with their money? You know, they go out and they go see the world, and, you know, some of them, when they go see the world, they see what the difference in the standard of living is between some of the countries they visit and where they come from, and so what else do they do? You know, then they see what the things they see, and then they start to write songs about the impact that had on them. And especially they began to do so around the 1980s when megastar status just started piling, you know, truckloads of money on singers. And I think some of them start to begin to feel a little guilt about the difference between where they were from and where they were visiting. So you remember maybe, for example, We Are the World. Remember that song? You know, all these celebrities and rock stars got together to raise money for Africa. Hands Across America, okay, that was all from the 1980s. And, you know, there's this hopefulness, and I won't comment too much about the naivete of it, but there's this kind of hopefulness that if we can get everybody, especially young people, to kind of catch this vision for a more perfect world, a more equal world, you know, a world where there's no war, a world without hunger, a world where there's more compassion, and if we just stick to it and persist and kind of get the message out there by way of rock songs and whatever other channels we can employ, maybe someday things will change, and maybe someday we can get there. And you know, if you capture the music of the young, and you start to capture the minds of the young, okay, you influence their view of the world. Anyway, so The Police had this song that was called "One World," parentheses, not three. Okay, "One World," not three. And the idea of it is, you know, where do we get this idea that there's three worlds? Okay, if I live in the first world, the wealthy world, and I think of poor people in other countries as living in the third world, as living in a whole other world, you know, that puts this great distance between me and them, and so maybe I don't feel any responsibility toward them, I don't feel any compassion for them, but really, you know, aren't we all on the same planet? Aren't we all in the same big boat? So that's one of the lines from the song. One world is enough for all of us. Hey, don't compartmentalize them, and don't compartmentalize yourself. In the name of humanity, we sort of all need to draw together. And that's kind of the message of liberalism generally, is this sort of hope for a perfect world. You know, all it takes is convincing everybody that humanity can be a great thing. And someday, maybe someday, and so there's one of these lyrics that, you know, there it is off in the distance, you know, our prize. It may seem a million miles away, but it gets a little closer every day. And, you know, you can kind of, excitement is growing, and people are starting to buy the records, and, you know, money is coming in, and people are getting on board, and word is getting out, and we're going to help the less fortunate. And then another piece of pop culture from my younger years was the Star Trek, the new generation, next generation. And the reason the Star Trek guys at Enterprise is out there in outer space able to encounter all these other races and civilizations from other planets is because they solved all the problems back on Earth. You know, everything's hunky-dory back on Earth. And so we have solved war and hunger, and humanity lives at peace with itself and so on. You know, so I guess now we're going to go make peace with the whole universe. Okay, well, the problem with a worldview like that, as lovely and worthy as it all sounds, is it fails to take into account the real human condition, which is corruption, ambition, and selfishness, you know, what we know as the fallen nature of man. it's not going to ever be possible to get all of the factions in the world to be satisfied with their share, to be open-handed, to be ready to yield and ready to give. That simply is not human nature. And I thought it was kind of ironic, you know, the police is only three guys, and the three guys could not get along with each other. And so if you can't even, guys, you know, get along in a band that's three guys, you know, how are you going to, you know, unite the world, okay? Anyway, so even if it wasn't for that aspect of human nature, it's especially impossible for us as the human race to ever achieve this because there is an adversary at large in the world. And he's provoking all of these conflicts and mayhem and greed and wars and lies and everything. How, even if we were inclined to do so, how could the human race ever achieve a perfect peace, ever arrive at truth, when there is a saboteur going around and wrecking up everything that and spoiling every good bit of goodness or goodwill that there may be? You know, I wonder, did the Star Trek world, did they get rid of the devil somehow? I don't think they did. Okay, well, no, they outgrew the devil. You know, they said, well, we got over these kind of primitive ideas of God and supernatural things, and you know, the human race, I guess, pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, and they made the world a perfect place. Okay, and same thing goes with the rock song too. You know, this God never comes up. You know, there's no use discussing sin and God or any kind of apocalypse or final judgment or anything. The vision is that man, you know, capital M man, humanity has the capacity to take his future, his destiny into his own hands. And if he wishes to, he can shape it for good. Okay, all we have to do is get everybody to kind of come on board. And if they don't want to get on board, well, we'll compel them to get on board. So this nice dream of a perfect human world, though, if you read the early part of the Bible, you see this has been tried before. And it is the civilization at Babel. Let us make a name for ourselves, right? Isn't that what they said? Okay, let's make a famous name. Let nothing be impossible for us. The world is at our disposal, and humanity is going to be over all. And they envisioned pretty much a world without God. And that's what the world is still, that's what the humanistic point of view is trying to still accomplish today. And so they write such songs, and the songs sound great, but, you know, as no matter how optimistic or how many songs they may write, the thing is, it really is a million miles away. You cannot get there from here. It's going to stay a million miles away because that world is based on a view of the world that simply doesn't account for the facts. It doesn't account for the fact of God, the fact of an enemy, and the fact of the sin nature of man. Okay, but the scripture in Romans 13:11, okay, the scripture tells the Christian a similar sentiment. It's the true version of this sentiment, that the perfect world, that to us, when we have our trials, it does seem a million miles away, and often it does seem that way. It really is a little closer every day. Okay, the scripture puts it in different terms, though. It says in Romans 13:11, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Okay, our salvation in the sense of our deliverance at the end of the age. Right? I'm not talking about the day you, quote-unquote, get saved. All right? We're talking about the day when Jesus comes and completes our salvation. Okay, our deliverance, when he will snatch us out of the jaws of death, and the devil, the day of our resurrection, the day when the kingdom of our Lord is established, a new world where righteousness dwells. That salvation is tonight, December 31st, one whole year closer than it was the last time we had this discussion. And, you know, I'd like to know, really, how many left can there be? It seems to me that our salvation is coming very, very soon. I wonder, really, how many left can there be? And that gives me some genuine encouragement and optimism to think, really, yeah, this is a milestone. I mean, our calendar is an arbitrary thing, but it is a thing, you know. Tomorrow we turn over a new number and we are a year closer. Notice the difference. There's kind of a fine difference in the thought, though, that it's our salvation that is nearer versus our achievement. Okay? The humanistic world is trying to achieve this perfect world, and that's, you know, they think it's getting a little closer every day. But so here, for the Christian, instead of it's trying and trying and trying to build perfection in the world, is struggling and compelling each other and kind of trying to pull ourselves up, we say, "Come, Lord Jesus." Okay? And he says to us, "Yes, I am coming soon. I am coming soon." So the next verse says, "The night is far spent." It's Romans 13:12. "The night is far spent and the day is at hand." It's a little closer tonight than it was a year ago. And there you get the sense of people almost waiting with bated breath for dawn to crack. Hey, we are in the middle of a long, dark night, but morning is a little closer than it was. So don't despair that the world is in the state it is in. It is in darkness. Hang on. It may seem a million miles away, but it really is a little closer every day. Now, the rock stars, you know, they got it wrong as far as the context and as far as the means, how we're going to get there. But don't you see, even in the unbeliever, you know, there is this something eternal in the heart of man that says to him, this has somehow got to all turn out for the good. It must. If it doesn't, what other course is there? Just despair. It's just blackness and loss. Okay, there must be a good resolution to this. And I think God has put that in the heart of man. Okay, we Christians, we know that it will turn out well because God is all-powerful. God is able. Okay, he is going to roll it all up and change it and make it new. And he has told us here in this book how he is going to bring it about. So it's not just this kind of pie in the sky, hope against hope. And, you know, if we can convince everybody to get on the bandwagon, maybe we can do a small part to make the world a better place for our great-great-grandchildren or great-great-great-grandchildren. You know, for us, there's not much hope of it seeing it in our generation, but maybe for them, you know, 4 or 5 generations in the future, okay? We know that our salvation is closer than it was, and it's for us too, right? It's not just, you know, well, I'm going to die and return to the dust, but maybe for my great-grandchildren, I can, no, okay? Jesus is coming. He's going to save us too. He's going to raise us from the dead. Okay, so that's what's going to be, though. It'll be salvation, not achievement, not by human achievement, but by God breaking in to dispel the darkness and destroy the devil and to rescue us. Okay, so be encouraged. It is coming. And as I said earlier, all I want is for the Lord to find me faithful. Okay, I just hope the Lord will find me faithful. You know, there's a chorus in our book, and I thought about having it tonight, but then I decided to skip it because the message wasn't quite right. But there's a chorus called "Find Us Faithful," and it says this: "May those who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful." Well, yes, I hope they do. I think of my grandmother. You know, I'm the later generation. Yeah, she was faithful. I can say that about her. Okay, I hope that my grandchildren will find that I was faithful too. But I want the Lord to find us faithful. Okay, find us here at First Baptist faithful. Whatever the coming year should bring, you know, changes will happen here, or maybe things will stay the same. We don't know. People will come in. People will leave. Maybe some new things are going to happen. Who knows what the next December 31st is going to look like. But whatever happens, I just want the Lord to say that we here were faithful. Okay? Even if it gets to the point where, you know, we have to become like one of these other churches and we just simply cannot go on and we have to shut the doors, okay, let it be said on the great day. Still, they were faithful. Yes, it was, you know, God may say it was my will to move them on to another place or whatever it was, but they were obedient and they did my will and they preached my word. Okay, since it's a little bit closer every day, okay, James tells us, be patient, brethren. Okay, establish your hearts. Paul tells us here in Romans 13, he says, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. All right, so there's something you can do. There's something you got to do. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime. Okay, not in orgiastic wild living, not in drunkenness, not in immorality, not in sensuality. Okay, those are night things. Those are things that people do whose time is the night. Not in, well, New King James says strife and envy. Another version says not in quarreling and jealousy. Okay, this is some things that Christians sometimes do. They quarrel and they get jealous of each other. Okay, let's not do that. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh. Okay, don't feed your sin nature. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify the desires of it. Establish your hearts. Purge sin from within you. Gentleness, purity, zeal for the Lord and for his work, zeal for his fame. Let's go fishing for men. Okay, let's bring people out of the shadow of death and out into the light. Okay, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's let that be our work for the coming year. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will promise so to do. Let's pray. Lord, again, we just want to set ourselves before you. Thank you for your faithfulness through the past year. And we pray, dear Lord, that you have found us faithful as you've brought us all through another year. I'm sure there were times when we were less than perfectly faithful, when we lost hope, or when we could not see you working, or when we questioned your motives. But forgive us, Father, as the scripture says, you know that we are dust, you know our frame is weak, and we cannot see the way you can see. Help us to trust you, Lord. And we praise you for an opportunity that you've set in front of us for another year, ability to work in the harvest field and to love each other and to obey your commandments in this arena that you have set us in. Thank you for your word. May we understand it better in the year to come. May we obey it better, and may we please you in every way, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your unchanging Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.